You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I've been following ACT for the last couple of years and their messages of intergenerational fairness, solving the housing crisis so young people can actually get into the market, and all of their principles of, you know, freedom of choice, being pro-immigration, and all those things, they really attracted me to the party. And especially seeing as David is actually the only millennial leader of a political party, and he honestly really believes in helping our young population. And so those were all messages that I got behind, and I decided to finally stand up for the young people and become a candidate for ACT.
So what does intergenerational fairness mean to you?
So to me, it just means making sure that young people are able to actually save and being able to buy a house, go into small business. So at the moment, we have superannuation running away with our costs, and people are only thinking of putting it back in about 20 years, which is going to cost us an extra $58 billion. And everyone knows it needs to go up, but the ACT Party is the only one that's actually saying we need to do it now. They're also the only party that's saying, look, if we actually build more homes, our younger people will be able to rent a bit easier, because at the moment, rental prices are skyrocketing, and that's cutting into people's savings, and that's going to make them less able to buy a house in the future, which makes it even harder for superannuation when it comes down the line. So it's about making it easier for our generation rather than the past one.
And how does the ACT Party plan to combat the housing crisis?
So we're saying that all the large towns should be scrapped from the RMA, and they should bring in a separate building code. Because if you're building, you know, an hour out of the city, then that's fine that you should, you know, consult different iwi groups and you know, look at what the environmental impact of a building will be. But if you're in a big town and you're building an apartment block, then there should be different codes for you. It would just make building consents a lot faster and cheaper for companies and people who actually want to build. And hopefully that will bring down the price of houses.
So just make it easier to build more houses, you're saying?
Yeah, because I think it's in the 1970s, they were building over 34,000 homes. And currently we're only building 10,000. So we've got a real shortage of the number of houses. And if we actually build more homes, the prices might flatten a little bit and make it a bit easier for us to get into the market ourselves.
But what about immigration? A lot of people argue that we are bringing in a lot of immigrants and that is exacerbating the housing crisis. What's your stance on that?
Well, look, we're actually pro-immigration, so we don't blame everything on immigrants. You know, New Zealand has always had immigration, and it's a real cop-out to say, you know, we're going to blame it on people that actually want to come to our country and contribute positively. The real problem is just the supply. If we actually built all of these new homes and provided the infrastructure, then we wouldn't have this issue. It's not the fault of people who want to actually come here and make a decent life for themselves. And in fact, it's quite saddening to hear that type of rhetoric being spouted off, because it makes me feel that you know, people who are recent immigrants might soon become targeted for racial attacks.
Well, what about Labor's policy, though, which is just they're advocating for a temporary slowdown in immigration until we can get our infrastructure up to par? What do you make of that stance?
Yeah, I still think that that's not a good solution, because what we need to provide is just a good, stable economy. And essentially that would be cutting back on the economy. And that's not really a solution. You can't say to people, look, you're not welcome right at the moment, but maybe down the line. It's not a very welcoming message. And I think, you know, New Zealand has always been a very inclusive society, and we need to maintain that.
A better economy, what do you mean by that? How might you change it?
So the ACT Party is, you know, we're all about free markets and allowing people to go into business, allowing people to you know, just use the resources that they have for themselves. I think when the government gets too involved in the market and starts, you know, putting limits on things, essentially what it does is it creates imbalances. And I think the government should remain as far away as possible from businesses and stop trying to create all these solutions, but let people actually create the solutions for themselves, like actually getting out and building. Because at the moment, the government is the only one that's freeing up land, but it's not doing it fast enough. But if it actually started freeing up more land, then we wouldn't have this problem.
In regards to free market economic policy, in the 80s, of course, we had the implementation of Rogernomics, and that led the way to New Zealand taking more of a free market stance to the economy. And a lot of people have attributed that to now the greater separation between rich and poor in this country. How would you respond?
I'd say that we should be taking more of a focus on social mobility. Instead of talking just about the poverty and a cycle of poverty, we should be saying, how do we actually get people out of poverty? How do we make sure that the next generation aren't captured in this inequality, this cycle of inequality? And that's through a whole bunch of educational resources. So we believe that a good choice in education will actually help people better themselves. So which is why we have policies for charter schools, because every child is different. And we need to recognize that and give people those opportunities. And often people on the lower socioeconomic side of the spectrum are kind of left behind in our education system. And with our charter school policy, we actually give more resources to those people, more time and attention, and that will help them, because at the moment they're not getting the proper education that they deserve at the schools.
And you are running as a candidate for Auckland Central. So how do you think you'll fare against the likes of Nikki Kaye and Helen White?
Yeah, so I'm running in Auckland Central because it's one of the largest youth populations in the country, and I also live there renting. I'm not actually asking people to give their vote to me for the electorate. I'm asking for the party vote so that we can get 5 MPs in. I'm not expecting to ever win against Nikki Kaye because I think she's a wonderful woman and I think she'll actually return to Parliament in her seat.
Lately, there's been a lot of talk, both nationally and internationally, on cannabis reform. What is your stance on that?
So the ACT Party doesn't have a formal policy on cannabis reform, but we are pro legalisation because decriminalisation is not far enough. But what we'd like to do first is just look at the reforms that are happening in Canada. For next year, Canada will be legalizing marijuana. And we'd like to see how they implement it and, you know, what are the effects of that policy, and have a look at it and see if it will work and then most likely be pro-legalization.
What about decriminalization of other drugs?
Well, I don't think we'd go that far at the moment. We want to look at what's happening in marijuana first off. I don't think there's any need to make any hard drugs legal at the moment because they actually do contribute a lot to crime.
Whereas what I asked was decriminalise them rather than legalise them.
Right, I see. Also, I don't think that's something that the ACT Party would actually have a policy on. Mainly because, you know, things like pee actually are incredibly harmful at the moment and cause a lot of crime. It's not like the marijuana issue, where majority of those people being picked up are young people or people who have real mental health issues. And so I don't think we're going to see any movement on that issue for many years.
You said in an interview with Lisa Rowan that you aren't sure about compensation to the men that were convicted for homosexual acts, in which the government recently apologised to. Can you expand upon this?
Yeah, because, I think it's really important that they were apologised to because it seems wrong. It was a civil rights issue. But the problem with this is that you know, it leads the way for compensation on so many other areas of civil rights. And I'd like to see mainly what our party's position would actually be on this, because it's not, we don't have any policy on this, and we haven't really spent too much time focusing on it. So I'd like to, you know, go back to the party and see what they actually think about that.
Last year, in reference to New Zealand's refugee quota being lifted, David Seymour said that new arrivals should sign a statement of commitment to New Zealand values. What do you make of this?
Well, we welcome immigrants, but we want to be in the position where we're able to choose the types of immigrants we have, because we're in the position where a lot of people do want to come to our country, because it is a thriving economy. So what we're saying is, if someone's coming here, let's just make sure that they're a good fit for the country and they understand the values that New Zealand has, and then, you know, have them sign a little agreement, and everything will be fine.
How might you choose immigrants, though? For some people, that might sound like you might choose them off based on race or culture. What do you mean by that?
It's not based on race or culture. It's just making sure that the people who are choosing to come here or asking to be accepted to come here actually understand what New Zealand's values are. And I'm assuming that the types of people that will be accepted would be people who are needed in New Zealand, like more builders and plumbers, more technical side in the ICT. It's not based on race or religion at all.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.